And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. Well, it's great to be back with you again this week. I'm in San Antonio. Last week, I came to you from San Diego, California, actually Del Mar, as I was on vacation with my wife and our family, visiting my wife's family, my in-laws, and had a great time doing that. We're back at it. I don't know about you, but our girls are back in school, and so school has started. Trust that all those that have started the new school year, that you're back in. Some will be starting later. And so it's a busy time of the year. I've been watching the Republican National Convention, watching what's going on there. We're very busy. As a matter of fact, we are busy preparing for next week, starting Monday in Gatlinburg, our Gatlinburg Prophecy Conference. Dad will be teaching the book of Ezekiel. I'll be teaching the three strands of the human family. Dave James will be there. He's the head of our school of prophets, our online learning program that where you can accomplish and get your master's degree through our online program there. That's in conjunction with Louisiana Baptist University. And so Dave James will be there. Actually, if you listen on a weekly basis to Dad's weekend program, you know that Dave has just written a book in response to the popular book that was out by Jonathan Kahn, The Harbinger. Dave has written a book, The Harbinger Fact or Fiction. And I suggest that you go take a look at that book. Maybe order it. There are a lot of people out there, a lot of people in our churches, misunderstanding Bible prophecy or prophecies in the Bible and who they relate to. And that's a classic case with this book, The Harbinger. So take a look at it. Take a look at Dave James's book on Amazon.com. You can go to our Prophecy Today bookstore, get and order that book from there. It's a great book. But Dave will be with us in Gatlinburg. We'll be broadcasting the audio of our classes on our Prophecy Today radio network. Hope that you might be able to join with us and be there. I know that we have quite a few people that are coming for those classes, and that's next week in October. October 11th, we have our trip that's going to Israel. We still have a few spaces available. I'm not sure how many. But if you're interested in last minute, you can make up your mind and you have the time. Hey, why not join us in Israel? It's a great trip. My wife and I will be there. We have a lot of great people coming. It's a prophetic look at Israel, past, present, and future, and what's taking place there. There are a lot of trips, a lot of people that you go with. We've been doing this now for over 30 years in Israel. Of course, we've done a lot of television work from there with Day of Discovery Television, John Ankerberg, our own television and video projects that we have done from Israel, and we know it pretty good. But doesn't say that we have the monopoly or, you know, we are the only experts. Today, there are a lot of people going to Israel, and we just happen to be one of those trips. We invite you to come along with us. It is Israel and Jordan, the Jordan extension. We do it a new way. We go down to a lot, and we started doing this a couple years ago. Very interesting. On the Israel portion of our trip, the first 10 days, or the first 8 days, I would say, you get to see Jerusalem, the north, up in the Galilee area, back to Jerusalem, all around those areas, everything with the life of Christ, prophetically what's going to take place in the future with Jerusalem, with our Third Temple Seminar. There's so much that goes on. We see all the sites and locations. And then the last portion of our trip, those that sign on for the extension, they go to Jordan, and we'll take that trip down via Beersheba, and we'll go down, drive down. And one of my favorites is to stop at the home of the home that's been protected, been preserved, the home of David Ben-Gurion, and just to see how this man lived, the early leader of Israel when it became a state, his life and how he lived it, a true leader. And I always love going by the kibbutz where he was, Kibbutz Sade Boker. It's a great place to stop. We'll take time there, see his library, his study, the place where it's a little shack. It's on a kibbutz. This was from the time period now. So, you know, I'm not making fun of it at all, but compared to the palaces and the houses and the places where the dignitaries that visited David Ben-Gurion, I'm sure that they were amazed themselves as they came and visit this man on the kibbutz. His job after being the prime minister of Israel, his job was to work with the sheep and the goats on the kibbutz. And if you can imagine, he would be out there counting them, trimming their hooves, just doing all kinds of different things, taking care of the newborn lambs and goats and billies. And so, you know, it's just a very interesting time period to kind of take a step back in time as you look at how his home was kept. Even his slippers are still beside his bed as he would have had it as he lived here, as he lived there with his wife and served the kibbutz out the latter years of his life. Interesting. From there, we will drive down through the Mitzvah Rimon Rim, where you get to see some unbelievable, one of the very few in the world, this archaeological wonder. That's all I could say. It is what it is, the formation in the rocks there. And then we head down to a lot where the next day we'll go to Petra. We'll take over, we'll go over early in the morning, take a one-day trip into Petra to see where we feel it's the 4,000-year-old Nabataean city, the beautiful city that was carved out of the red rocks of Petra. And it's a great time to go there and visit that, to be a part of that, to see all that is there. And then we come back and we finish up our trip in Israel with a trip on the Red Sea. And we'll go snorkeling. We'll go out on a yacht and go out into the Red Sea. We can see four nations from there: Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Israel. Great place to go. So we invite you to come along with us and join with us. That's October 11th. Of course, we do have the Journeys of Paul cruise, which is October 19th. If you're interested in that, you can't go on both, I don't think. They overlap one another. You could go to the first portion of Israel and then fly up to Rome and join the group as they take out for the Journeys of Paul from Rome. That's where it starts off. But either way, I will end up after my trip in Israel guiding that. I will go and meet my father and my brother Rick, and we will work on our video project. As I've shared with you about one of our next upcoming videos that we're working on, the headquarters for the Antichrist, the false church in the city of Rome, and how that all shapes up, how it's going to happen, and lay it out for you, seeing the different sites that are there. So very interesting time period in which we live, so we're all very busy. Let me remind you, I will be doing a prophecy conference in Romania coming up in December. Looking very much forward to that trip. A lot of hard work by people that are there, the mission organization that we work with in Europe, Life Impact for Eternity with Eric Murphy is the mission organization, and we have been working with him in Central Europe doing our missions projects. My brother and I, it's become a passion for us to take the gospel message to places where there are very few missionaries, in Montenegro and Serbia, Croatia, Bosnia, and we're taking the gospel to those areas. So we've got a busy fall planned. I hope that your fall is busy. You know, as we study Bible prophecy, we find out where we are on God's timetable. We understand that we're living in the last days. You know, as you study, as you students of the Word, those that listen to Prophecy Q&A, those that send in questions, those that listen to our Prophecy Today radio network on a daily basis, this is helping you. And I would dare say that you now have a new worldview. You have a new insight into what's taking place and the urgency and the time in which we live. I was talking with a friend of mine the other day, as we were talking about for the first time, really starting to understand Bible prophecy and understanding the times in which we're living. We are on the cusp of the rapture of the church to take place at any moment. And with that happening, then all of a sudden, the events and Bible prophecy as they are laid out for us will unfold. And we have so much of that. It's included in God's Word. A third of God's Word is Bible prophecy, and so that's used to motivate us. Well, I know that you've heard me say this before, and as we teach Bible prophecy, you know, you can get caught up in all the aspects of trying to figure out all, you know, where it's going to take place, how this is going to happen, who the personalities are that are involved, and you can, and there are personalities out there that are pointing, but we won't know that until after the rapture of the church, the true personalities, the names that will be put with the personalities in Bible prophecies, particularly the Antichrist and the false prophet in the end time. So, but you know, let's not get caught up in those things. Let's get involved with how we use Bible prophecy to motivate us, examining current events in the light of God's Word, and that using Bible prophecy to motivate us to be about His Word, to do His work, and what He wants us to do, which is to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ and all that we'd say and do. So thank you so much for joining us. This is a Prophecy Q&A program, and today I thought I would take a couple moments, and maybe we'll try to run through some quick questions, not go in so much in-depth detail, because we have a lot of questions, and I feel so bad for people that are waiting for their question to be answered. Although you can go back and start listening from the very beginning to our first Prophecy Q&A program, and probably one of your questions will be answered there in one of those programs that we have done over the last 2 years. But let's take some. David Nolting sends in a question. He says, would you tell me where in Scripture it indicates the Antichrist will come from Europe? Well, David, that passage is in Daniel chapter 7 is where we get the indication. Daniel's vision, the times of the Gentile kingdoms started in Daniel chapter 2 with Nebuchadnezzar's vision that Daniel interpreted, and then Daniel has a vision, and he sees in that vision, in that dream, the four kingdoms, the Gentile kingdoms. So we get the idea of these same kingdoms as was when Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2. But in chapter 7, verse 2, he says, he lays it out. He says, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. Of course, the great sea, talking about the Mediterranean region. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. And then he starts to list those kingdoms, the same ones that were mentioned in Daniel chapter 2. And verse 7, he says, and I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And, of course, we know this to be the revived Roman Empire. I was considering the horns, and there was another, a little one coming among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out of its roots. And there in the horns there were eyes like the eyes of a man, and the mouth speaking pompous words. Of course, he's lifting himself up. This is the description of the Antichrist coming out of the revived Roman Empire. And then if you go down to verse 15, he starts to talk about that he was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. He goes to describe the interpretation of the four beasts. And verse 23, he talks about the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all the others, and shall devour the whole earth and trample it and break it in pieces. The 10 horns are the 10 kings who shall rise from the kingdom, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. And again, this is a description of the Antichrist. So, David, you could go and study Daniel chapter 7. You can get an understanding of why we indicate why the Antichrist comes from Europe, the revived Roman Empire, which he will establish. He will be headquartered in the city of Rome, and then he will be set up the false church, which will be headquartered there, and then go through, establishes the peace agreement, confirms it, actually, with Israel, which sets off the beginning of the tribulation period. So thank you, David, for that question. Dottie Davis sends in. She says, thank you for all your work in studying Bible prophecy. I am learning much. I have a question, though, regarding Mystery Babylon. In some ways, I see the USA as her, but you do not. But the ancient Babylon rebuilt. My question is, how can, in a three-plus-year span, can it be developed? The reputation amidst the cataclysmic judgments happening on Earth to the extent that the U.S. has already been built. Just doesn't make sense logically that it would be possible to accomplish all that is written about the revived ancient city in that time frame. Thanks for your answer. I will be waiting for it. Well, Dottie, and you're asking about Babylon. We think it's a literal city that will be revived. Of course, we've done many studies on that. And your question is not so much you're thinking, how can that happen? Well, all I can say to you, and again, Babylon is talked about in Revelation 17, Revelation 18, Antichrist, after he sets up his headquarters in the city of Rome and the false church there, he will, at the midway point of the tribulation period, he leaves Rome and goes to Jerusalem, where he sets up the abomination of the temple. Then from there, he will go and be headquartered in the city of Babylon. First, first talked about all the way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, Nimrod, as the king Nimrod established a nation and kingdom and built the Tower of Babel there. But that has, and of course, we have done many studies about Babylon over the past. So after he goes and reestablishes his headquarters in the city of Babylon, he institutes the mark of the beast that is described, the economic prosperity that's talked about, city of Babylon. Then in Revelation 18, the destruction of Babylon as it takes place in 1 hour. So in order for that to take place, Babylon will have to be there. I know it doesn't make sense to us. You talked about the judgments that are going to be happening. It's not until the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period that the great tribulation takes place. The judgments get intense and they intensify. The last 14 judgments are unbelievable, and they are cataclysmic. But in that point in time, before that, I do think that the Antichrist will start rebuilding. Remember, with today's modern technology, it doesn't take long for cities to be rebuilt. You look at the city in Dubai, beautiful. I mean, the monies of the wealth of the oil men there as they built the city of Dubai, and that only took about 3 years period of time. So I think that it can take place. I think that, after the rapture takes place, the tribulation doesn't start until the Antichrist comes on the scene and he will establish and confirm a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. And so there's no telling as to how long that will take place. There's no time period given there. I don't think it will take long. Again, and we have a follow-up question here from someone else, and I'll get into this a little bit more. There are so many things happening right now. Babylon is being rebuilt as we speak. Our State Department has been trying to make it one of the top places in the world for people to go visit. So there are scenes that are happening. There are things that are happening behind the scenes right now as they unfold and take place. Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, told us about an event that's taking place where Iraq will become the telecommunications capital of the world. There's been talk about how much oil there's under Iraq still now that hasn't been tapped into. All of this will be used, again, to rebuild cities, to build a city, to establish it with a time period. It's not until the midway point of the tribulation period that the Antichrist will go to Babylon and establish his headquarters there. So I don't even know that at that point in time if the city has to be, the place. It has to be up and running like our major cities that we have here in the United States, or the Christians gone at the rapture of the church. There will be a war that takes place. The man on a red horse, which is the second horse that comes out after the man on a white horse, which is the Antichrist. The man on a red horse, which we think that's Ezekiel 38 and 39. The Islamic world will be taken care of at that point in time. And so there will be some things happening. I don't know how to explain it, Dottie, but I do understand that, you know, we have to kind of pull ourselves out of this mind frame of, well, how can this happen in a 3-year period of time? I don't know that anybody could have predicted the fall of nations as fast as they fell. Libya, Egypt, Syria possibly getting ready to. You look at these things as they happen almost overnight. An economic downfall, not only here in the United States, but in Europe, as it's taken place, that seems to almost have happened just about overnight. So how to explain it? I'm not sure that we need to. We do know that that's what Bible prophecy talks about, but I think that you could take a look at events that are happening right now. That's why we keep an eye on these events as they are happening around the world, to keep you informed, so that as these things are happening off the stage, once they move all the props and actors on stage and that curtain goes up, the rapture will take place. So thank you, Dottie, for that question, and we thank you for sending that in to us. And good thinking. That's a good process. Hey, I don't know if you received this. As I'm looking through our questions on my my computer, we do send out the today's top news stories on a daily basis. It probably goes about every other day, sometimes every day. We take the time to go through the top 10 news stories in the world, specifically like the question you asked, Dottie, about what's taking place and how can this happen so fast, and I don't see it taking place. But we go and we do the research and we show you through the events that are taking place and give you these stories so that we can see that, man, things are happening behind the scenes, and people and places are being moved around, and things are taking place, so that when the rapture takes place, all of a sudden, it's just going to keep going, and the plan, God's plan, as He's laid it out, will come to fruition, and that's one of the reasons we look at Bible prophecy and what's happening around the world. We really try to look at what's taking place so that it gives us an indication as to where we are on that timetable. And if you want that, go to our website, prophecytoday.com, take a look at it. Click on there, send a note to James, who is in our office, and say, James, I want to receive the top 10 news stories every day, today's top 10 stories. So, and he'll send those to you in the work that we do. Let's take a few more questions. Does Matthew 24:31 refer to the rapture? Now, just remember, we always use the proper interpretation of the scriptures, hermeneutics, who was the author speaking to at the time that that particular book was written. And so as you go to Matthew 24, I know that is talking to the Jewish people and how they will be being prepared for the coming of Christ, the second coming, when he actually returns to the earth. And then what they will be doing, getting prepared for the millennial kingdom that God has promised them on this earth. So as you go to Matthew 24:31 and you take a look at it, I know that that's a passage that was written to the Jewish people. The Jews, there were no Christians on the earth at that point in time. There were believing Jews. There were believing Gentiles, righteous Gentiles. So as you take a look at this, now you will start to understand Matthew 24 was written to the Jewish people. So specifically, Matthew 24:31 says, "And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other." And this is talking about the Jews that and the people that are here on the earth, that the angels will gather them together. So no, it's not talking about the rapture of the church, John. John Stoudemire sends in that question, and thank you, John, for sending that. But just remember, in the proper hermeneutics, and this again, this is what I'll be teaching in Gatlinburg, the three strands of the human family, and for the first 2,000 years on the earth, from Genesis 1 all the way to Genesis chapter 12, There were only Gentiles on the earth. From Abraham, Genesis chapter 13, or Genesis chapter 12, the call of Abraham, out of Ur of the Chaldees, the promise in Genesis chapter 13, and then from Abraham all the way through to the apostles, you had two strands of those three, the Gentiles and Jews on the earth. And then from the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, all the way to the rapture of the church, whenever that takes place, you will have had three strands of the human family on the earth. And God has a plan for each one of those three, Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. So as you take a look at that, remember, as you're reading the Gospels, those were specifically given and written to the Jewish people on how they are to live in the kingdom. And there's a technical interpretation of the Gospels, and there's a spiritual application, and we find many great truths in the Gospel how we are to live our lives. But specifically, there were instructions as to how the Jews are to live during the millennial kingdom, the kingdom that is yet to come. So let's take a look at our next question on our site. Cindy Campbell sends in a question: where's Bob McGinnis? Really miss his contributions to Prophecy Today. Bob will be back. He's on assignment right now. He's working on a project. And I will pass on, we're passing on all these questions from everybody that's wanting to know where Bob is. I think there's another one here that somebody sent in asking a question as to where is Bob McGinnis. And yes, Jack DeMoyes sent in a question. Where's Bob? Bob is very insightful. He has a knowledge. He's been up there. He's working on assignment for the Pentagon and working overseas. And he will be back as soon as he can. We'll get him back on the air with us because he has a lot of great insight as to what's taking place in the Mideast and what's happening on the ground, not only in Mideast, Central Europe with the Chinese. He's got a lot of contacts. It's who you know. It really is who you know. And so we look forward to when Bob comes back. See, Margaret sends in a question. Hi, and God bless you. Thank you, Margaret. Appreciate that. I would like to know what passages of the Bible, the current events pertaining to Israel and Iran, the coming bombing war they are threatening before the election, would be fulfilling. I want to point my unbelieving family to the fulfillment of biblical prophecy in these events as well as prior ones. Any help you can give me in this regard would be very much appreciated. Blessings in Christ Jesus to you. And Margaret, to all of our listeners that listen to us, Margaret, we'll keep your family in prayer as you witness to them. But your question pertaining to this bombing that is being talked about, Israel attacking Iran, well, we don't see that in Bible prophecy, but we do know for the most part, and this is not unprecedented, that Israel would attack Iran. If you remember back when Israel did the secret mission to destroy the nuclear reactor, I believe it was in 1982, as they did that, that mission took place. They were that with precision. It wasn't an all-out war. It wasn't, Israel set their all their rockets on the coast and pointed to Iran and pushed the button and all, all of them took off towards Iran. And that's, I think, pretty much that's what Iran, Ahmadinejad, has said, that he has, I believe that number is up around 8,000 rockets pointed towards Israel, that if there were anything that were coming towards Iran, that they would push the button and it would be a mutual destruction of Israel. If Israel attacks Iran, it will be on a precision, almost surgical strikes that will take place. Now, that's not in Bible prophecy. It's not unknown for Israel to protect itself. They have one of the best militaries in the world. So they very well could protect themselves and do a preventive strike, a surgical strike, going in and taking out some of the reactors, some of the areas where they are developing this nuclear weapon. Also maybe take out some of the rockets that are aimed at Israel. Nobody likes to have rockets aimed at them. So that could happen, but there's nothing in Bible prophecy that says that Israel will attack Iran in the sense of they're going to a full out war will take place. Where it does mention that is that Iran will attack Israel Iran along with Russia, Persia, is talked about in Ezekiel 38, and pretty much all the countries that are talked about in Ezekiel 38. And as you read Ezekiel 38, the first three or four verses of Ezekiel 38, you will start to see those nations that are going to be involved. And again, you will probably need a commentary with you so that those nations can be translated for you. But basically, those nations are Libya, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Persia, which up until 1939, Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan were called Persia, and Russia, Gog and Magog, would come against Israel. So those nations are talked about, and we believe that that's the war that's talked about the man on a red horse that's in Revelation chapter 6, as the man as the seal is unleashed and a man on a red horse comes riding in, one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, as he comes in, the man of war. We believe that that's when that battle will take place, and that happens after the rapture of the church. You remember that scenario. The rapture takes place. It's an event that could take place at any moment now. It's an imminent event. It hasn't happened yet. And that's talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as talked about in 1 Corinthians 15, talked about in Revelation chapter 4. And so when that event takes place, the next thing that starts the tribulation period will be the Antichrist confirming a peace treaty. Antichrist has to come on the scene, and then he confirms that peace treaty as talked about in Daniel 9:27. That peace treaty then initiates the start of the tribulation period, that seven-year period of time, 21 judgments that are unleashed during that period of time. The Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan all working and realizing that they have 7 years to accomplish the goal of defeating God. And so that's what's happening on this earth at that period of time. At the end of the seven-year period of time, Jesus Christ returns to the Mount of Olives, returns to the earth. That's his second coming. Now that's the next timeline that unfolded for you in his word, and that's what we teach. That particular battle that you're talking about in Ezekiel 38 and 39 and the attack of Iran and Israel, that happens after the rapture of the church. So as you start to see these things taking place right now, it kind of helps you understand that, man, well, I know that this is not going to happen, but if Ahmadinejad is saying this, that it's going to be mutual destruction. If Israel sends any weapons or any rockets or any fighters our way, we're going to push the button and 8,000 rockets will destroy the coast of Israel. That's Haifa, that's Tel Aviv, Caesarea, Netanya, going on down to, you know, Ashdod. There's so many cities, and I'm not sure what the millions would be and the numbers that would be destroyed in that. So, Margaret, as you see it's laid out here, this can give you some idea of what's going to take place with the situation between Israel and Iran right now. But we are, you can see, again, this is all pointing through Bible prophecy. You could study Ezekiel 38 and 39. As a matter of fact, next week, listen to our Prophecy Today radio network. Dad will be teaching on Ezekiel 38 and 39, this war that takes place. He'll be teaching that during our Gatlinburg Prophecy Conference. So make sure you listen to it. Actually, call your friends, your neighbors, your family that you're praying for. Have them listen as Dad explains how it's all going to unfold. That'll be the perfect way for you to talking points for your family as they listen as to what's going to take place. And we will keep your family in prayer as you are witnessing to them. And that's so great that you are using Bible prophecy, using where we are on God's timetable to kind of keep you aware of what's taking place. Beverly Akers sends in a question. She says, I'm wondering in the devotion on Gog and Magog, how you decided this would occur during the first 3 months of the tribulation period. Again, Beverly, the reason that we place the Ezekiel 38 war between Gog and Magog in the first part of the tribulation, of the seven-year period of time, the attack will come when Israel is at peace. Ezekiel 38, when Israel's covenant with the Antichrist is in effect at the beginning of Daniel's 70th week, the tribulation period, Daniel 9:27. She will be at peace. Israel will be at peace. But after the covenant is broken at the middle of the seven-year period, the nation will suffer tremendous persecution. Daniel 9:27, Matthew 24:15-22. This will provide the time needed to bury the dead in Ezekiel 39, and to burn the weapons of war, Ezekiel 39:9-10. So the battle described by Ezekiel will take place shortly after the Antichrist is unleashed, has come on the scene, established that peace treaty. It could be a month or two after. It could be a half a year. The first seven of the judgments that are unleashed of the 21 will be unleashed in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. So this war could take place any place a year after the rapture of the church. I'm not sure that anybody could place a timeline, only to say that it's going to happen in the first part of the 3.5 year period of time of the tribulation period. Thank you, Beverly, for your question. Thanks for sending, doing your research. Again, all these things, all these questions that you sent in, study the Word. We just read and study just like everybody else does, and that's all that we do. We take God's Word, we take it, we distribute it, we study it as we go, we teach it, and that's part of what we do. So hopefully, some of these will be helping you out as you take a look and as you listen to our answers to your questions. We'll do our best. I have said this many times, in the body of Christ, there are many aspects. People do a lot of different things in the body of Christ. People teach about servanthood, serving the body of Christ. There are those that are involved in administration. Our particular aspect of the body of Christ and our teaching, our parachurch organization, our ministry that we have is studying end times, eschatology, understanding where we are, understanding what's taking place, and trying to unfold that, to have a good understanding of what's taking place, how it unfolds, and a dispensational approach, a pre-trib approach, a pre-millennial approach. You've heard all those terms. That's what we are, and that's what we use, God's words. We use the three main prophetic books of the Bible, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Revelation, which is all uses apocalyptic literature, and that's how you interpret other apocalyptic literature. And we look at and we decipher things in God's Word. We interpret it literally. It's not figuratively, or it's not historically, or it's not allegorically. We read God's Word. We understand it. We interpret it. We read the Scriptures, and we take it all literal. So hopefully this will all help you as we are studying God's Word and coming up with answers to your questions that you have. Again, let me encourage you to go back to our website, to our archive, to take a look at what's there so that you could have maybe one of your questions answered of the hundreds that we get on a weekly basis. Thank you again for tuning in this week and listening to us as we talk about God's Word, talk about what's going on. Pray for us. Pray for the weekend program that Dad's doing on his weekend review. Dad will be out on the road again this weekend. We'll all be traveling, and then we'll be in Gatlinburg next week together, doing our Gatlinburg Prophecy Conference, and we'll have Prophecy Q&A coming live from Gatlinburg next week. Hopefully you could join with us. Well, after studying and teaching and answering your questions, talking about all of this, man, it just gets me all excited. I'm so looking forward to the rapture of the church to take place, to take us off of this earth, to take us out of here. But before that happens, I need to be pure and productive, prioritizing my life, understanding where we are in God's timetable, being about His work and doing what He wants us to do, and to be busy. I know that we are in the last days. Thank you for joining with us this week. And as always, keep looking in the clouds. You know, Dad always says he hates those sunshiny days when there's no cloud in the sky. He loves a cloudy day. Well, there's nothing else left for us to say except let's keep looking up until...